want you to turn in your Bibles. Let's get rid of that. To Psalm 119. And I appreciate the opportunity to attend the conference last week. It was a real blessing. Every message was outstanding. Gave me a lot of ideas about what to preach about. Maybe even a new tract idea. We'll see. It was definitely a blessing to be there, and I appreciate the opportunity. Got to see a lot of people that we fellowship with and some people I had never met before. I got to meet them. It was a blessing all around. And so it was a good encouragement, and travel went very smooth. And so I'm thankful for that as well. Brother Goss was giving me a hard time this morning and said that pastor had said that I was wrestling with a passage for this evening. And, well, as long as the Lord wins, that's what matters. Don't mind losing to him. And hopefully I've got what the Lord wants for you tonight. I believe I do. So we're going to look at Psalm 119. And we will look at verses 121 through 128. Excuse me. If you'll say a quick prayer for me as well. I had to mow the grass, and my sinuses are giving me some trouble. And hopefully my voice will survive. So, all right. So, and we're mainly going to concentrate on the last few verses, but we will read the whole thing. Not all of 119, just 121 through 128. My voice would not survive that. And our Bible says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to worship you. And Lord, to hear your word preached, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. Help me to say what you would have said and to refrain from the things that you don't. I pray that you would encourage and challenge those here tonight to walk closer with you. And Lord, we need to do it all the more as we see the day approaching. And Lord, we give you thanks for this time. Ask your blessing and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to focus on, starting in verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We see there in verse 126, the psalmist says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. And the Lord needs to work. And the time is coming when the Lord will work. As Pastor Gable has been preaching on Sunday night in the book of Revelations, we've been seeing what exactly the Lord is going to do. And we see in this verse, 126, the need for the Lord to work. Why does the Lord need to work? For they have made void thy law. And they, in this case, we understand from verses 121 and 122 that they are proud oppressors. The psalmist says, I've done justice and judgment, but there's these oppressors. And these oppressors are proud, and they've stood in the way. And it says that God's law has been made void. And that word void is speaking about broken up or dissolved, made of none effect. And that's what they, these oppressors, are doing. You can think of it like God's law has been chipped away at and chafed against, rubbed against for a long, long time. And is there really any of God's laws, commands, precepts that the world upholds anymore? Not many. Basically, they have removed it. That is God's law in their lives and in their whole decision-making process. It's void. It doesn't count. They don't consider it. And they've done it in their individual lives. And of course, as they do it in their individual lives, it becomes that way in our society too. And more than just removing it, what people in society have done is that they've put in compensation. They've compensated with other things to lessen the consequences of making void God's law. So they put, you take away one rule, then you say, oh, that didn't work. So we make a new rule. They don't go back to the old rule. They make a new rule. It's actually more complicated than the first rule. And they say, oh, that didn't quite cover it either. So they make another one and another one. Next thing you know, you've got half a dozen rules to replace the first rule that they've made void. They compensate. And when the leaders and governments of this world aren't doing it, God's law, God will. So the Lord is going to work. It is time for the Lord to work. And verse 121, the psalmist says, I have done judgment and justice, and that is the Lord, the work that the Lord is going to do. He's going to carry out the justice and the judgment. The psalmist said, I did this, and people stood against it. They stood in my way. So it's time for the Lord to do it. And he's going to. He's going to demonstrate that his word is still in effect, even if everybody chooses to ignore it. You know, the psalm uses three words to describe God's word in the first part of the psalm. It uses statutes, which is enactments or pronouncements, appointments. God has made some appointments. He is going to return. He hasn't set the time or date, but he said that's going to happen. He's going to do it. He's going to work. There's testimonies. The apostles provided the testimonies of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is going to show that all those things that the apostles told us and that the prophets said and that Paul wrote in his epistles, they're all true. Amen. Every single bit of it. And the Lord is going to work. Say, this is true. Amen. He's going to bring it to pass. And of course, the law, which would be speaking in the Psalms about the Pentateuch, those, the books that Moses wrote. And God is going to come and going to perform the law, going to judge according to the law. And he's going to bring about everything that he said will come to pass. Everything. There isn't one jot or one tittle that isn't going to happen. Every consequence that he says happens for sin is going to happen. Right. And we read, as I mentioned before in Revelation, exactly how God is going to work in the end times. And when the Lord works, there isn't going to be any oppression of his work or of him. Amen. Not a bit. Amen. The proud oppressors won't intimidate, they won't override, and they won't veto God's work. Their pride won't matter. Proverbs 11:21 says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That's what he's going to do. It doesn't matter if there's only one person left on the face of the earth when the tribulation starts. No matter, the whole world is arrayed against him, and the whole world pretty much will be arrayed against him in the tribulation. It won't matter. The Lord is at work. But leading up to all of that, God is going to make the choice clearer and clearer between his law and the world's law so that they are without excuse. And because we see the time approaching, our psalm says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. And we can look around our world and we can say, yes, Lord, please work. You see in the last two verses of this section, though the Lord is working, there's a response required on our part. Therefore, because it is time for the Lord to work and because they have made God's law void, therefore, there's something for you and I to do, even though the Lord is going to work. There's actually three responses that it gives here. So it's time for the Lord's people to respond. Because it's time for the Lord to work, we should love God's commandments. Verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now, love, above all, is a choice. Let's say I really love pizza. How many people like pizza? Okay, put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Even if you can't eat it these days. And those of you who like pizza, how many love pizza? And so maybe you're one of those where, let's say you go to the Chinese buffet. And you love pizza. And over there, off to the side somewhere, you see pizza. Whoa, I'm all over that. And you load up with the pizza. They've got all this other stuff. But you go and you get the pizza. Why? Because you love pizza. Someone, you know, maybe the person who brought you says, what are you doing? What? I love pizza. So you have the pizza. You chose that. And Jesus spoke about our love, about our choice. In Matthew 6:24, he said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And in fact, here in our passage, it gives a comparison. And it's not just comparing it to pizza. I love thy commandment above gold, yea, above fine gold. You know, the saying goes that money can get you out of whatever troubles you're in. And I looked it up just the other day, so the price may have shifted a little bit. But the standard gold bullion bar is 12.4 kilograms. And at the current spot price, a bar of gold of that size, 99% fine, we're talking about fine gold, $692,310. That's a lot of money. But if you love God's commandments, you will choose those over everything else available to you. You know, in some ways, I wish I had it so that I could put the bar of gold here, God's commandments here. I might need a few security guards. But this is our choice. The gold bar here, God's word here. The psalmist says, I love God's commandments more than fine gold.
Amen.
So when the choice is before me, I grab this.
Amen.
If you had to choose, which would you choose? Which would you choose if you were in a tough spot? You know, choosing God's Word can keep you out of a lot of those troubles that you would have to buy your way out of.
That's true.
And you know what? The world has commandments too. Do this. Don't do that. And since they're making void God's commandments, you've got them on one side and God on the other, and they're forcing you to make a choice. The world says a person should do this or that, but their commandments actually make God's commandments void. They replace them. They sweep them under. Say, you don't want that old book. You want this. We're more enlightened now. We're so much wiser. And God says that we should obey those that are in authority over us, but only so far as their commandments don't contradict God's commandments.
Amen.
So love is a choice, but love is also shown. You know, when you're at that Chinese buffet and you choose the pizza, it's pretty clear that you love pizza. It shows. So love is shown when our choices are made, but it's also shown in what we express, what we talk about, what we think about. If I love someone, I'm going to talk about that person positively when I'm among other people. I'm going to talk about their good qualities. I'm going to talk about how nice they are. I'm going to talk about maybe the good things they've done to me. And I love them. So I'm going to talk good about them. If I love a book or an idea or an opinion, I'll promote it with other people.
Right.
Hey, I just read this book. It was really excellent. You should pick it up. You know what? In fact, I'll bring it next time I see you and I'll let you borrow it. That's how we're supposed to be with God's commandments. If we love them, we're supposed to talk about them in that glowing and positive way. Just like someone that we love or a book that we love. If I love God's commandments, I'm going to be promoting them and suggesting them because I love them. And love, it does have feelings with it too. There's no denying that. But if you're like me, too often I may talk about God's commandments, but I do it like a commander. Barking orders. Laying out rules. This is what God wants. But that's not really treating them with love. That's not holding God's word with love. I should be talking about His commandments. Yeah, God says to do this. But I should point out the blessings that come with it.
Amen.
How good it is. Why I love it. Not just do it. Here's why to do it. Here's why I do it. And so often I don't lovingly warn about the trouble and the sorrow that comes from disobeying God's commandments. Say, you better do this or else. No. This is God's commandments and I love them. And I don't want that person I'm speaking to come into the judgment and justice of God. Please don't go there. Please follow what God says. His commandments. We are to love them. And not only that, because it is time for the Lord to work, therefore we should esteem all of God's precepts concerning all things to be right. There in verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And that word esteem is talking about your evaluation of something, or the value that you ascribe to or account something to have. Esteem is the opposite of despise. And Proverbs 13:13 says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." They're not esteeming the word. They're despising it. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. With this word esteem, think of self-esteem. What is self-esteem? It is ascribing great value to yourself. It is estimating yourself as great, as being right. That's self-esteem. But our estimation should be that God's precepts about everything are right.
Amen.
That's what we should esteem. Now, commandments are cut and dry. Do this, don't do that. But God knows that there are situations that are not specifically addressed necessarily by a commandment. That's why he gave us precepts in his word. Basically, you could say that precepts fill in all the gaps that there might be in the commandments. And a precept is a general rule to regulate behavior and thought. It's kind of like an instruction sheet. And what God says to do in a situation is the right approach and the right way of thinking. His precepts are right. Following God's precepts will yield the best possible results. And look at what it says here about his statutes. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. That's everything. God's word has everything you need.
Amen.
To find and follow the right way.
Amen.
And esteeming anything else is not esteeming God's word. Viewing anything else as right is not compatible with esteeming God's word. We should esteem God's word. Any other action than what God prescribes is not right. Any other way of thinking is not right. And right is talking about straight or even, prosperous and pleasing. Why wouldn't you want that?
Amen.
It lays out, God's word lays out a straight path for our feet.
Amen.
An easy way to follow. It's not easy when the oppressors are on every side trying to shove you. But God's precept is straight as an arrow.
Amen.
And I need to look at that and say, yes, that is right. That needs to be my estimation of it. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Man's precepts seem right. They seem right. But God's precepts are right. And every single one of them. And the funny thing with esteeming something is that it takes time. It requires you, we're talking about your response, because God is going to work. And God is at work, making choices clear and clearer all the time. You are going to have to pause for a moment to esteem things, to evaluate things. Remember, esteeming is an estimation. It's a consideration. Esteeming is looking down the road a little further than what's going on right now. It takes effort to think things through. You're going to have to spend time in God's Word. That's a good thing you love it, huh? And we talked about self-esteem. Esteeming God's Word. Taking that time, it also takes humility to admit that I may not be seeing something right. I might be missing something. And I need God to open my eyes through His Word to show me which way is right. This way seems right. Oh, I know that way is right. Hold on. You need to estimate. You need to consider. And does that way line up with God's precepts? And these pauses for consideration, those are also rejected by our world too. We don't like to wait. We got to make decisions right now. We got to do something right now. And it's in our flesh too. But we need to take the time to esteem God's Word and recognize that it is right. So, since it is time for the Lord to work, we need to love God's commandments. We need to esteem all His precepts. And lastly, because it is time for the Lord to work, therefore we should hate every false way. Amen. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the precepts. Because a way is talking about a precept. It's a general course of action, a general path. But it says we should hate every false way. Because it's false, it's a lie. It's deceptive. Right. Where it's going is to disappointment. You're not going to get where you think you're going when you follow the false way. And a way is a path. As a well-trodden road, a way of living that many people follow is a way. And so much of the world's ways are false ways because they're making this void. And just like we had talked about, they are on these ways, and when they see that the way that they're on is actually not leading to where they want to go, they don't turn around and go the other way, back the opposite way. No, oh, this way isn't going right where I want. I'll just veer this way a little bit. No, that's not it either. I'm going to go this way. They don't turn back to the right way. They just modify the wrong way. They add a new commandment or a new rule. Sometimes they broaden the way, hoping that it'll still get them to where they want to go. And hate is obviously the opposite of love, and just like love, it is a choice. So we need to choose to refuse the false ways. Amen. It's a choice to reject or refuse. Well, back to the Chinese buffet. And let's say that I hate shrimp lo mein. Absolutely hate it.
We get in there and say, I'm sorry, we're out of everything but the shrimp lo mein. If I hate it, I'm leaving that place hungry. I'm not going to eat that. Why? Because I hate it. I don't want anything to do with that. Yeah, I realize I just paid $15 to just walk out the door hungry. But I hate it. I'm not going to change my mind. Just like with love, there was a comparison between the fine gold and God's word. When it comes to these ways, there is the ways of the world and the ways of God. And what are you going to choose? Just like over $600,000 is a tough choice, what about the good close friend that gives you advice, tells you what to do that doesn't line up with this? What are you going to choose? If it doesn't line up with this, it's a false way. And I should hate every false way. I'm not going to hate my best friend. Best friends give bad advice sometimes. But if I hate every false way, I'm not going to follow that way, even though it may offend my friend. What about the experts that counsel you contrary to God's word? And they may have alphabet soup behind their name. It doesn't matter what their name is. The ways that we follow are according to God's name. Sometimes there's a lot of those experts and they sound really convincing. What are you going to choose? And just like love, hate is also shown. It is shown by our choices. What are you going to choose? But it is also expressed. If I hate a book or an idea, I'm going to tell people to reject it. No, don't read that trash. That's junk. Stay away from that. If I hate a person, it'll probably be pretty obvious and I don't have to say much of anything. But it is shown, isn't it? And chances are, if I hate them, I will say something. I don't know that God wants me to do that. That's not exactly a good way either. But I'm certainly going to let people know when a way is false. I'm going to explain to them. If I hate every false way, I'm going to refuse it no matter what. And if I love God's commandments and esteem His precepts about everything, there's always an option besides the false way.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
It may not look like it at the time, but you got to take the time to get in His word. Say, God, what do you say? My friend's telling me this. The expert's telling me this. God, what do you say? And just like we saw in Proverbs, the false way seems right. False ways make big promises. And the false ways sound really good to our reasoning. So we have to be careful about the false ways. And unfortunately, sometimes we also recognize a false way because we've chosen it before. I've been down that road. I'm not going down that road again.
Amen.
And when I speak about the false ways to other people, am I opening up about how I went the false way from time to time and what it did to me and how I found the right way? remember, I love and I esteem this. And I hate the false way. I hate that somebody would go down that path that I went down. I hate that the young people in our church are allured by the things of the world. Because I didn't get saved till I was 35. I've got emotional scars. I've got trash in my head that doesn't go away. But I've got something to give people. That's the false way.
Amen.
Stay away from it.
Amen.
Come to the right way. The Lord is getting ready. The Lord is going to work. Stay away from that. Am I opening up? Am I sharing? Am I talking about that false way with compassion and concern? So since it's time for the Lord to work, and we see that day approaching when the time for work will be over, what are you doing? See, the Lord is going to work. He is going to do justice and judgment. And it is going to be really ugly, as we've been hearing in Revelation. You know, it's not as ugly as it would be if God never works. That's why He's going to do it. Because of His love. God's statutes, testimonies, law, commandments, and precepts are going to be enforced and brought to pass, every single bit of it. Now, they are making this void. That's what they are doing. What are you going to do? Are you going to love God's commandments? Are you choosing to do them? Are you promoting and glorifying them? What's your attitude toward them? Do you do them and speak of them with blessings and freedom from trouble in view? Or do you express God's commandment just as cold, hard rules? Well, it's got lots of rules. They make more all the time. It doesn't seem to bring anybody any more happiness, does it? But we've got God's rules. We should be glorifying these things. It's simple. It's clear. How are you speaking about them? Are you showing your love? Are you going to esteem all of God's precepts about all things? How do you evaluate God's word? What value do you ascribe to it? Do you see every word of it as true and right and sufficient to guide your life in every situation? Is that how you esteem it? And are you thinking it through? When you come to God's word, and I have a reading schedule in here, just like I'm sure a lot of you do. Am I just reading a schedule or am I thinking about it? Am I estimating it? Am I looking down the road with it? Using it like a pair of binoculars? Trying to see what's ahead? Are you thinking it through? Are you taking that time? Are you full of self-esteem? Or are you willing to pause your action and question your thinking until you get God's view of whatever it is? That's what we should do, because the Lord's going to work. And are you hating every false way? Are you refusing the false ways no matter what? Do you recognize the false ways? You need to avail yourself of your love and esteem help, get God's help in showing you the false way. You've got to recognize them to refuse them. Are you explaining to people that the problems and suffering they have are due to following false ways with love and compassion? And when's the last time you opened up to someone and said, let me tell you about how I went down the false way. Let me tell you about the way that I found in God's word, the salvation that is in Christ first and foremost, and the changed heart that he gives you.
Amen.
And then being able to understand his precepts and his commandments. He gives these things because he loves you. And he loves them. Are you admitting the people that you've been there to? So yes, we do see signs in the world around us that it is time for the Lord to work. They are not doing God's justice and judgment. So he is going to have to. And as they make more and more of it void, the choice for you and I becomes clearer and clearer all the time. Since the Lord will work and is at work making the choices clear, therefore, I will love, will esteem, and will hate the false way. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, while we can still work.
Amen.
This is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to respond to his coming, to his working. And he's at work right now in somebody's life. Do what he recommends.